Praise be to God, we have a God who's up to the task, because I'm not, but he is. And so I want to stand in praise of his name today. This morning we remember, we witnessed our remembrance of our Savior Jesus Christ in partaking of the broken body and the blood that was shed for us. And we had that opportunity to remember exactly what he did for each one of us. I am going to be talking about prophecy. And I'm going to be reading a lot of prophecy. Prophecy directed at us, directed at this land. I've entitled this sermon, America, the Land of Promise, Unto All Who Serve God and Keep His Commandments. And I'm going to begin reading in the book of Ether, chapter 1, verse 27. Now, I'm going to be most all of my scriptures are out of the Book of Mormon. And the reason for that is this is the land of Joseph. And of course, the Book of Mormon is the history of the seed of Joseph and God's dealing with them. But before we get to Joseph's seed, we're going to read from Ether, chapter 1, verse 27, and we're going to read about the people of Jared and God's promise to the people of Jared. So, Ether, chapter 1, verse 27. By the way, happy Independence Day, one day early. The Declaration of Independence is going to come up in this sermon. But what a privileged people and a free people we are. Something we can be thankful for. On page 717, Ether, chapter 1, verse 27 through 31. And it came to pass that the Lord did go before them, that is Jared's brother and their families, said that the Lord did go before them and did talk with them, and he stood in a cloud and gave directions whither they should travel. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges, in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And that's this land. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. This was given to Jared and the brother of Jared and their families, this promise, over 2,000 years before Christ, 2,000 to 2,200 years, somewhere in that time frame. this promise was given to them. It would be a blessing to them or a cursing, depending on whether they served their God, who'd been merciful to them, who'd guided and directed them, or if they'd reject him. Now I'm going to turn to first book of Nephi, and now we're going to the seed of Joseph. And this is Nephi speaking, and it's in first book of Nephi, chapter 1, verses 53 and 54. First book of Nephi, chapter 1, verses 53 and 54. And this is found on page 6. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith, for thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. And inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper and shall be led to a land of promise, a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. Once again, that promise, this time to Nephi, around and a little later than 600 BC, in other words, 592 BC, somewhere in that range. God gave the same promise to Nephi, that if he would keep his commandments, the God who'd been merciful unto him, the God who'd loved him, who'd guided him, that if he'd keep his commandments, he would prosper in the land. Now I'm going to turn to second book of Nephi, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and this is Lehi to his sons. Second book of Nephi, chapter 1. Second book of Nephi, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Found on page 77. And now it came to pass after I, Nephi, had made an end of teaching my brethren, our father Lehi also spake many things unto them, how great things the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of the land of Jerusalem. And he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters, and the mercies of God in sparing their lives, that they were not swallowed up in the sea. And he also spake unto them concerning the land of promise which they had obtained, how merciful the Lord had been in warning us that we should flee out of the land of Jerusalem. Remember that God told them to leave right before the Jews were captured, taken into captivity into Babylon. And so God had been merciful unto them in providing a way where they could escape and they could have freedom. For behold, saith he, I have seen a vision in the which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And had we remained in Jerusalem, we should also have perished. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God hath covenanted with me, should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever. And also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them, a land of freedom. I'm amazed by the prophecies that are contained in the Book of Mormon that speak to our day. And it gets better. Wherefore, they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous, it shall be blessed forever. And behold, it is wisdom that this land should be kept as yet from the knowledge of other nations. For behold, many nations would overrun the land, that there would be no place for an inheritance. And isn't it interesting? That's what's happened. The land has been overrun. What has happened is God blessed this land because of the humility of the people, the belief in God, and blessed this nation incredibly. And many people have come to this land seeking those blessings. Verse 18. Wherefore I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as they which the Lord God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of this land, and they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And if it so be that they shall keep his commandments, and they shall be blessed upon the face of this land. And that's what happened for many years. Many years, they had their ups and downs. For a time, they'd humble themselves. They'd be blessed by God. And then they would be built up in pride. That's our nature. When we're blessed, if we don't seek God, we start thinking about ourselves and pleasing ourselves and thinking that we've done it ourselves. And that's what happened over and over throughout cycles through their history. But they kept coming back to God, and they were blessed that he manifested himself unto them after his resurrection. But eventually, they rejected him. We'll get to that. Wherefore, I'm going to read 18 again. Wherefore, I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as they which the Lord God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of this land. And they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And if it so be that they shall keep his commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of this land. And there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance. And they shall dwell safely forever. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great blessings from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth, and all men knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into this precious land of promise, behold, I say, if the day shall come that they shall reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. And us, like them, had a knowledge of our Creator. We've had the Word of God, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, to confirm one another. We know, at least we have faith, that these things are true. And if we reject them, then the same promise is unto us. Behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them. And that has happened. And he will give unto them power that he will take away from them the lands of their possessions, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. Yea, as one generation passeth to another, there shall be bloodshed and great visitations among them. And now I'd like to read when that occurred. It's found in Mormon chapter 3, verses 16 through 33. And this is Mormons' witness of this, their rejection of Jesus. Jesus had already come and had manifest himself unto them and to their forefathers. And for a period of time, the love of God reigned among them. And they kept his commandments. But as time went on, they rejected him. And this part we're going to read is at the sad moment at the end where they see this destruction. And it's in Mormon chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Mormon chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And this is found on page 702. And it came to pass that there were 10 more. I'm sorry, this is the wrong. Maybe not. No, this is the end. This is where I wanted to read, beginning to read from. This is the last battle, basically. And it came to pass that there were 10 more which did fall by the sword. And these are the Nephites that fell to the Lamanites. And it came to pass that there were 10 more which did fall by the sword with their 10,000 each. Yea, even all my people, save it were those 20 and 4 which were with me, and also a few which had escaped into the south countries, and a few which had deserted over unto the Lamanites had fallen. And their flesh and bones and blood lay upon the face of the earth, being left by the hands of those who slew them to molder upon the land and to crumble and to return to their mother earth. And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slain of my people. And I cried, O ye fair ones, how could ye have departed from the ways of the Lord? O ye fair ones, how could ye have rejected that Jesus
who stood with open arms to receive you. Behold, if ye had not done this, ye would not have fallen. But behold, ye are fallen, and I mourn your loss. O ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that ye could have fallen? But behold, ye are gone, and my sorrows cannot bring your return. And the day soon cometh that your mortal must put on immortality, and these bodies, which are now moldering in corruption, must soon become incorruptible bodies. And then ye must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to your works. And if it so be that ye are righteous, then ye are blessed. Then are ye blessed with your fathers, which have gone before you. Oh, that ye had repented before that this great destruction had come upon you. But behold, ye are gone. And the Father, yea, the eternal Father of heaven, knoweth your state. And he doeth with you according to his justice and mercy. And now, behold, I would speak somewhat. And before I read that, I want to just a quick moment while I look up my. Our brother Buzz this morning in the sacrament service said these words, that the calling of the Church of Christ is to bring the world to repentance, to call the world to repentance. Repentance is that turning from our own ways and turning to his ways, crying out to him for mercy. He is so willing to give us mercy when we cry out with a sincere heart to him. And these words of Mormon, oh, that ye had repented before this great destruction had come upon you, but behold, ye are gone. And the Father, yea, the eternal Father of heaven, knoweth your state, and he doeth with you according to his mercy and justice. And now, behold, I would speak somewhat unto the remnant of this people which are spared, if it so be that God may give unto them my words, that they may know the things of their fathers. Yea, I speak unto you, ye remnant of the house of Israel, and these are the words which I speak unto you. Know ye that ye are the house of Israel? Know ye that ye must come unto repentance, or ye cannot be saved? Know ye that ye must lay down your weapons of war and delight no more in the shedding of blood, and take them not again, save it be that God shall command you? Know ye that ye must come to the knowledge of your fathers, and repent of all your sins and iniquities, and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he was slain by the Jews, and by the power of the Father, and hath risen again, whereby he hath gained the victory over the grave. And also in him is the sting of death swallowed up. And he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, whereby man must be raised to stand before his judgment seat. And he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day hath it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above, unto the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God in a state of happiness which hath no end. What a promise that if we are found guiltless, and how are we found guiltless? Only through the pure blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, only coming unto him, diligently seeking him, repenting of our sins, having faith in him, being baptized in water and by the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end by faith in him. Therefore, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews, the Bible. Which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you, the remnant of the seed of Lehi. For behold, this is written for the intent that ye may believe that. And if ye may believe that, ye will believe this also. And if ye believe this, ye will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And ye will also know that ye are a remnant of the seed of Jacob. Therefore, ye are numbered among the people of the first covenant. And if it so be that ye believe in Christ and are baptized first with water, then with fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the example of our Savior, according to that which he hath commanded us, it shall be well with you in the day of judgment. This sounds an awful lot like what our brother Buzz read this morning, who he was led to read this morning in 2nd Book of Nephi, chapter 13. Following the example of our Savior into that baptism that he's called us to. Here, Mormon is talking to the remnant of the house of Israel. And it is our privilege, responsibility, to take this word to them, that they may know of their fathers, that they may know of Jesus Christ, that their forefathers knew of him, followed him, that they may know and learn of this book of theirs. I'm going to read now in 1st Book of Nephi, chapter 3. And this is a prophecy about us on the land of promise. 1st Book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 145. On page 34, 1st Book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 145. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld many waters, and they divided the Gentiles from the seed of my brethren. And it came to pass that the angel saith unto me, behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of thy brethren. And this is Nephi's vision, by the way. And so, remember the promise that we read, that if they ever rejected Jesus, that they'd be scattered, that they'd be destroyed. There would be a remnant of them, but they'd be scattered. And this is the fulfillment of that. And it came to pass that the angel saith unto me, I'm in 146, behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of thy brethren. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles, which was separated from the seed of my brethren by the many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God that it came down and wrought upon the man, and he went forth upon the many waters even unto the seed of my brethren, which were in the promised land. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God that it wrought upon other Gentiles. And they went forth out of captivity upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God, that it was upon the seed of my brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles, and they were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord, that it was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful like unto my people before that they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles had gone forth out of captivity, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. What a prophecy of what happened. And our forefathers who fled tyranny, religion that was forced upon them, that didn't line up with the Bible, and they came to this land for freedom, and they sought the Lord in the forming of this nation. And I'm going to read to you that declaration of independence where they separated themselves from England. This was in the this is from the National Archives, by the way. And this says, in Congress, July 4th, 1776. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph and the first portion of the second paragraph so that we can see their belief in God. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. I just want to review a couple things in this. That they recognized that their rights came from God. The laws of nature and nature's God entitled them. God entitled them. It says in the second paragraph that that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed, given by God, endowed by their Creator with certain, it describes an absolute certainty of those rights. And those rights, among those rights, it says, are life, liberty, freedom. Freedom. A key word there. One that we've read about, that God gives to those who serve Him in this land of promise. Life, another one, and a pursuit of happiness. You know, it so clearly says in the Book of Mormon that the man is, that he might have joy. And those rights are given to us by a loving and a merciful God who continues to seek us, to call us out to seek Him. Continuing in I'm going to read in verse 153. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters, and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land because they served the God of this land, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. I'm now going to turn to there's just one other thing, another example that I wanted to give about our forefathers' belief in God. This was from Benjamin Franklin, in a motion he gave to the Constitutional Convention. Says, Benjamin Franklin delivered this famous speech asking the convention begin each day's session with prayers at a particularly contentious period when it appeared that the convention might break up over its failure to resolve the dispute between the large and small states over representation in the new government. The 81-year-old Franklin asserted that the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. I also believe, Franklin continued, that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. So he recognized the need to cry out to God in prayer. I'm going to continue now in verse 181. And it came to pass, this is still in this first book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 181. Page 37. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God. This is still Nephi's vision. Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, After that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by the abominable church. So this is speaking of plain and most precious parts of the Bible. By that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. And behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And these are those things which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And here's this promise. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, that shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And that prophecy is from Isaiah, and it talks about our role in this day, which is to take this Book of Mormon to those of the lost tribe, to those of the house of Israel, whoever they may be. We still have to bring it to the Jews. That's in our future. So it's an exciting future that we have. And I want to read from Jacob chapter 3 about this calling that we have. Jacob chapter 3, verse 136. Jacob chapter 3, verse 136. It's on page 186. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And this is that parable of the olive tree being compared to the house of Israel and the wild tree whose branches. So it's all about the gospel of Christ going first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, and then back from the Gentile to the Jew. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. I just want to stop and remind each of us that we each have a role in this, and laboring in this vineyard and bringing this gospel to our neighbor, to our friends, to our family, to our enemies, which some of us have done before. And God has given that success. We all have a part in this laboring, going out in this for this last time. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mites with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it shall come to pass that the servants did go to it and labor with their mites. Isn't that exciting? And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away. And they did keep the root and the top thereof equal and according to the strength thereof. And thus they labored with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast away out of the vineyard. And the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they began like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. And it came to pass that when the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good, and that his vineyard was no more corrupt, he called upon his servants and saith unto them, behold, for this last time we have nourished my vineyard, and thou beholdest that I have done according to my will. And I have preserved the natural fruit, that it is good, even like it was in the beginning. Blessed art thou. And this is our responsibility and privilege. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 16. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep, this is Jesus speaking, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And God has called us into his vineyard. To bring back those lost sheep. Jacob chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to end with this scripture. And how blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard, and how cursed are they which shall be cast, and how cursed are they which shall be cast out into their own place. And the world shall be burned with fire. And how merciful is our God unto us, for he remembereth the house of Israel, both roots and branches. And he stretched forth his hand unto them, all the day long, and he stretches forth his hand unto us all the day long. We're to repent of our sins and to come unto him. And they, verse 7, and they are a stiff-necked and a gainsaying people, but as many as will not harden their hearts shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I beseech of you, in words of soberness, that ye would repent and come with full purpose of heart and cleave unto God as he cleaveth unto you. And while his arm of mercy is extended towards you, in the light of day, harden not your hearts. Brothers and sisters, may God bless each one of you, that you'll take your part in this great work that he's called us to. God bless.